Welcome to the Health Fix Podcast, where Dr. Janine Krause, that's me, gives you, a health junkie, a weekly dose of tools to help you increase your energy and resilience to life stressors.
Hey, health junkies. The Health Fix Podcast is sponsored by EMF Rocks and athleticism.com, where you can find all the tools for whole brain and whole body performance so you can be an athlete for life. Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause, and on today's episode of The Health Fix, I have Rachel McLeod. She is a mental health therapist who focuses on emotional wellness and helping free folks from anxiety, depression, and trauma. Now, she's got some amazing programs where you can do self-study, where you can work with her, and she's giving you the tools to dive into that brain of yours and free yourself from anxiety, depression, trauma. You want to listen to this podcast. She's got some great advice, and it's quite amazing what she's doing with folks to get some really great results. So much so that I'm definitely going to jump into her program. So stay tuned for me to give you some updates on that. But until then, let's get on with the podcast. Rachel, welcome to the Health Fix Podcast.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
All right. So we're going to be talking about this baggage of anxiety, depression, trauma, stress, all these things. And like I mentioned in my intro, it's something that I'm finding that more often than not, folks will go to years and years of therapy and they'll be like, yeah, it's better to hash it out and talk about it, but I'm sick of talking about it. I want to do something. So you have a program that you're working with folks for 8 weeks, but we're working on really ending this cycle, yes, repetitive stuff going on. So I think a lot of folks are like, okay, you know, what is it in my brain that I need to unlock? What is it, you know, that's going on with me? And unfortunately, I hear a lot of people saying like, what's wrong with me? And I'm like, there's nothing wrong with you. It's just some processing things. So when someone's diving in to working with you and working on anxiety, depression, and trauma, what is the first thing they need to start to be thinking about to really make some foundational changes with how they're processing this anxiety, depression, trauma stuff?
Yeah. You know, the very first thing to understand about this, and which this one shift creates so much change, is that the brain naturally resolves symptoms of anxiety, depression, and traumatic stress. And there's just it has its own natural process for doing this. And most of that process is intact, but there's the process right in the beginning of it that really can the parts of the brain, for their own valid reasons, start working against each other. And the problems that we have don't actually get fixed. They can't make it through that process. And so, and there's no, because of the players involved there, there's really no way to use, there's the old ways of doing things don't really work because the parts of the brain that resolve these things are in conflict. And so when we work with it from the front of our brain of talking, which what we do in regular typical therapies, that we can talk about it all we want to, but until we get into the parts of the brain that are actually in conflict, which is our survival system, and it doesn't care what we say. It's like, I have to protect you at all costs. And it's the overrider of all the rest of the systems. And so this, the information that is like a panic attack, right? All whatever's causing that panic attack, we want to get that through your brain's process of for healing and resolving. But if that survival system is blocking it because it sees that thing that needs to come through and it's just afraid of it, or it's actually not afraid of it. It's determined that it needs to protect the whole system from that. And so it just blocks the front, and that thing that's causing panic attacks can never get through. And every time it gets pulled up, it causes the same panic attack over and over again. But if you can really, and what we do and what we're doing now and getting faster results, is we are engaging that survival system to pull it out of the way, unblock that path. And all of a sudden what's causing that panic attack can get through for the first time ever. And then the brain is like, we've got it. And they start working on it. And they resolve the problem very quickly within minutes. It's really not it's not a long drawn out process. When you find the right intervention that works with that part of the brain, you will notice symptom resolution beginning immediately. You will watch you can basically watch the wheels of the brain finally, like the gears are finally moving in the right direction. And all of a sudden, you know, we'll see, we know that that process is resolving when we can have somebody look at that same situation or be in that same situation and they feel completely different about it. And in this case, instead of going into a panic attack, they're like, oh, this is that thing that used to send me into a panic attack. And they notice that they're calm, that it doesn't matter. Like people, you know, this is what we're doing to help people stop having panic attacks on their drives to work or laying in bed at night, racing thoughts. That is all happening because that one process that's so important to solve problems is blocked. And so instead of things, problems coming through that process, well, they just loop and loop and loop because the part of your brain is like, yes, I'm going to get that through. And the other part of the brain is like, no, you're not. No, you're not. And so, but when we can get that part, that doesn't, right? Because that survival system is not a thinking center. It's not a reasoning center. It doesn't even have the ability to alter its own behavior.
No.
Right. So the parts of the brain that can alter the behavior are further down the line. And so if they can't get that stuff through, they can't alter the behavior. And so it's so important that we start working with the parts of the brain that really get us quick results and actually help the brain do its own healing work. And so that's really a lot of the reason why we just get stuck looping and why we're not getting the results that we really want and why we can get results really, really quickly.
Well, a lot of people might be like, okay, really quickly, I've been 20 years of therapy and yes, it's once you realize that the response that you're having is a reflex, really, it's an active reflex. And so
yeah,
when you're going through these, the kind of pulling things out, cause I have a lot of people that have been like, yeah, doc, I don't know, you know, I've done EMDR, I've done EFT and I know you work with these kind of things. I've done hypnosis and I'm like, okay, then if you have someone that comes to you like that, what would you say to them that they've done the EFT, they've done the EMDR, and they were like, I still didn't get to that point.
Yeah.
Where are we blocking on those things? Because I have a lot of patients who have also said they've done different therapies such as that, but they still can't unlock that core thing.
Yeah. What I find is that a lot of times the interventions that they're using will work. They are working. They are effective. But to end a disorder, we have to do several different things besides just go in and heal emotional wounds, which is what most EMDR tapping therapists are, what they specialize in. You know, one of the other things we need to do, and that's an important piece, like that is part of this package. You have to resolve the emotional wounds in there. I'm so glad people are out there doing that. And what we also know is that we have to repattern the nervous system the way it's functioning, especially with people with complex childhood trauma. You know, that when you're early development, your nervous system is supposed to get regulated. You're supposed to cry as a baby, and then your parents are supposed to help you bring it back down. But a lot of parents don't have that skill set. And so you get activated, you crying. The next thing you know, they're making it worse. They're crying, they're screaming, they're yelling. Next thing you know, your nervous system notices that we get regulated, dysregulated, and then we go up higher, right? And so, and then as adults, we have this pattern, right? We get ourselves dysregulated, and then we jump in and we start yelling at ourselves like our parent used to, and then we take it higher, right? That's not the pattern we want. And as a matter of fact, once you get dysregulated, that healing process, the brain's problem solving process is offline. It's not available. And so we really want to pull that back down into regulation. And we want to start teaching the brain a new regulation pattern that, hey, we go up and then we come down. And that's part of what it takes to resolve a disorder. And the other thing is we need to rehabilitate the problem-solving pathway. We need to get the brain doing its work itself. And a lot of times we are walking it through its own healing process repeatedly until the brain's like, oh, I get it. We do this. And then you'll see it start to do this on its own like it's supposed to. It's not supposed to have us walking it through every step of the process, but traumatic events and really difficult emotional experiences and even physical painful experiences really can block it and impair that healing process. We need to get that repaired. And so what I find is I use interventions like emotional freedom techniques, thought-filled therapy. I use energy medicine strategies, and EMDR. And I actually teach people to do this work for themselves. I teach them and train them to use all four of those things. And I really am matching them, their brain, with interventions. And if, you know, once it's working and we can see that we're getting results, we run with that one. And then every once in a while, we'll run into a symptom that's not, that these interventions aren't helping for, I'll pull out another one and we'll match until it resolves that. And so, but I do that because what I found using my process is that it takes to resolve a whole disorder, it takes about 120 to 300 hours of specific and targeted brain work on average. Now that is also, I want to say, that's of resolution work, of resolving a disorder. That's not including any time where people, you know, during therapy, you know, when people just, you know, a new trauma will come into play. They lost their job. They lost a loved one. Those sorts of things. That's different work that does ultimately help heal the whole disorder. But anyway, that's kind of additional work. And so when those things happen in the middle of therapy, that's really when it can take a longer time to resolve a disorder. But what I find is that people are usually only using this, doing brain work, the specific brain work, engaging their survival system and guiding their brain through the healing process, making sure it gets fully through, only in this sessions with therapists. And so as a result of that, they're working hard in sessions and maybe they do a year worth of EMDR, right? And if that's when they're using the session, the interventions like EMDR, that's, if we've done weekly sessions, that's 52 hours of EMDR. And you know, we don't get quite all that much time spent using the intervention, right? And so, but let's count the whole hour. That's still, there's still another 100 hours left on average or more, right? And so it's really frustrating for people because they're doing a layer of the work, which is about the healing the past, healing emotional wounds, but there's so many other layers that aren't completed. And none of it's a waste. Even none of it's a waste using talk therapy strategies. But if you're going to, whatever time you're spending working with that part of the brain and rehabbing it and getting it out of the healing process, that's really the time that really counts the most from my style of work.
Well, I think that's important that you mentioned like 100 to like 300 hours. When I heard that, I was like, whoa, wait a minute. Cause I have people that'll be like, I've been to six sessions. So what, six sessions? That's probably like,
correct.
When you break it down, maybe there's 40 minutes of an hour session that's been actual hardcore work. So this is for me, it's like, oh, okay. Now we have to kind of think about, this is a commitment that a lot of folks haven't realized that they've even scratched the surface to get there.
Correct. Yes. And let me tell you, I'm going to tell you some secrets. When you get the right intervention and your brain starts working and all of a sudden you're getting results, you start noticing probably about the 10th hour, your stress levels have come down. Your brain is working better. You're not being triggered in the same way. And when you, even like if your anxiety, depression, or trauma disorder is at a 10 and it comes down and it's now at an 8, holy moly, you feel like $1 million. You're like, I'm done. I'm free. And no, you're not. I'm sorry. You're not. Yeah. There's so much more that we need to repair, you know, and in my work, in my program, and even in my therapy, because I'm training people to do this work themselves, I have them doing 2 hours of this brain work every day because I don't want them doing more. I mean, every once in a while that could be fine, but I don't want them doing less, even though by the time somebody gets to me, usually their anxiety, depression, or trauma disorder is showing up and affecting more than 2 hours of their day. Right. And really, if those symptoms are happening, those symptoms are evidence that your brain is trying to work and is not getting anything resolved. That's why we have symptoms. It's actually not because your brain's trying to pick your butt, but because it's actually trying to do its healing process and it's not working. And so when my clients notice a symptom, that's when I want them using it. And I want them doing this in their life where their brain is misfiring, where their brain is misbehaving. No, when their brain is having difficulties. And so I have them do 2 hours a day. And so by the fifth day, they get to their 10 hours in 5 days, you know, and that's when I'm like, hey, let's go. And I say this because I had a raging anxiety disorder that was actually just the tip of the iceberg of my complex childhood trauma disorder. And I started working on this 12 years ago. And somebody gave me emotional freedom techniques and they said, try this, it will change your life. And I was like, yeah, okay. but that night I laid in bed, I had watched the training for it. And I was having racing thoughts. I could not get to sleep. I had 3 children under 3 and I just was like, if I don't get to sleep right now, somebody's going to wake up. I'm not going to get any sleep. And I, you know, that I was doing all of that, like take off with your, you know, start levitating in your bed with the racing thoughts, jet fueling you. And so I was like, oh, let me see if I can try that thing now. So I started tapping. And it takes like 15 seconds to do, but it was my first time ever. So it took me 30 seconds. I yawned and I just kept going. And I woke up the next morning and I was like, I slept. And I was like, what else can I try this on? And I went nuts. I handed my OCD, this intervention. I said, go. And it was like, got you. Anyway, so that was the best gift my OCD ever gave me, is that I obsessively and compulsively use that intervention on as much as I could get my hands on. And I really started to heal. I didn't have very much skill at all. But here I was eliminating symptom after symptom. I mean, I just felt like a queen going through my life, healing things. And I had a lot more work to do and I didn't really realize that. And so I just kind of let it go for a while, because if you start where you are, you can really clean up your life and you can walk around your life. Like at first in your disorder, you take one step out and you get zapped. And so you learn to stay in a very small spot, you know, and then you try to step out and expand a little bit. Then you get zapped and you're back and you learn, oh, my disorder's over there. If I stay right here, I'll be okay, which you're not, you know, and your world is very small. But as you start doing this, you can really clear out your life. And I had. And so I was walking around my life owning it. And then what we do then is we decide we're going to grow and we start our comfort zone expands and we can find more symptoms out there.
Wow.
And, but I had returned to work. I was staying home with children. I returned to work and I started having panic attacks again. And I didn't use an intervention for a long time. One day I was like, why am I tolerating this? Why am I sitting here playing around with these panic attacks? And I started using them and then started clearing them. And then I was like, why aren't I integrating this in my work as a social worker? And so, you know, and it just really built from there. And but I spent, there was a couple of years in there I didn't use an intervention. And that really prolonged my healing journey. You know, and so I really know that it's just really important to finish. Really, it's like if you were working on a hoarder's house, and that's kind of what happens with our brain. There's so much work that can't get through, it just hangs on to it. And so if you were to clean out that house, you want to clean it all out, not just clean a room or two rooms. You want to really overhaul the thing, and then you start your maintenance. You start decorating the inside. You start those sorts of things. And I like to make sure the whole house gets clean, because, you know, if you just open stuff up and then you just move stuff, oh, well, I have room over here. The next thing you know, your house is underwater again and it's not manageable. And so if we really do a thorough job, we can do the decoration, we can do the whole full clean out. And then by that time, what I find is that by the end of whatever it takes somebody to resolve their disorder, they have so much stamina and strength that the little bit of maintenance work that you do to keep your house running well and pleasant place to live is a breeze to them.
And I like that. I like a couple of things you mentioned. One thing in particular was talking about how you teach folks to do the EMDR and the EFT instead of having to go into a therapist to do this every single time. And I think for a lot of people, having the tools, and like you were saying, you're cleaning out the brain and all of the stored trauma as I would look at it as. And as you clean that out, now you've got clear pathways, but then you also have that ability if something new comes up, because we always have new stuff. And I think for a lot of people, we'll think, okay, I've cleared my trauma. Everything's good. You know, life is going to get amazing and nothing's going to ever bother me. Well, sometimes, you know, there are things that break through and
that's really
trigger you to the core.
That's right. And that's right. It's like living in a house. Every once in a while, a pipe breaks. and, you know, and you got to get in there and you got to resolve it. Or, you know, you decide you want to build a pond in the back, you know, you got to go back there and you got to, you know, and so that's, you're right. It is an ongoing, and that's doesn't, that, that means you have a brain. It doesn't mean that you have a disorder, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, I mean, it's part of being human. And I think a yes. lot of us, maybe it's because of how we've been programmed, you know, we think like, okay, you know, solve this. All right, boom, I'm done. I'll never have that happen again. It's kind of like, you know, if you are cleaning out the house and you get rid of stuff, you might never see those particular boots that spot again. But it doesn't mean that you're not going to have that kind of boot or sweater with a different color come back in, or, you know, a different.
That's design. Right. That's right. Cause you know, your friends come to visit, they leave their stuff sometimes, or people give you gifts, or you go on the random shopping spree and buy stuff you don't need.
let's talk about friends giving you gifts for a minute, because not necessarily gifts. I want to talk about energy vampires for a second.
Yes, let's do that.
Because I think that for a lot of people, we don't realize that some of our trauma is actually, and some of our anxiety, some of our depression even is coming from certain people in our world that are draining us per se. And I think what I've heard from a lot of folks right now is like, okay, with COVID, you know, we still aren't fully going out as much as we used to. I'm kind of stuck in the home with whatever person that maybe gets on your nerves and brings up a little bit of anxiety, trauma, situations like that. What are you finding in your work that's really helpful when there's an interpersonal issue? So between two people in a home, what could you suggest to folks on that?
Yeah, I see this functionally. I see this as a challenges in boundaries. And we're going to have boundary issues our whole life, as far as I'm concerned. Our cellular walls have boundary issues. Like, it's boundaries are a thing. And we really have beautiful boundaries, but they can really become impaired or have areas where we can't flex them or adapt them to adjust to specific situations, right? And a lot of that has to do with childhood trauma or childhood patterns. And the other piece of it, and no matter where it comes from, usually when we look at, well, why are you with an energy vampire, what we have there is somebody's coming in and taking stuff we actually don't want to give. So there's really not, it's not consensual. It's not, it's not a win-win. We're stuck in a win-loss, and we can't stop that from happening. We can't prevent that. We can't close the door, right? They just waltz in, and that's a boundary breach. And brain, the reason this is here, right, is that, you know, there's many reasons, but when we look down, it a lot of times there's a survival system response in there. That something about the person our survival system is interpreting that as a threat to our survival. And so instead of using the front of our brain and really getting curious and what solutions could we use and being free to speak and use our boundaries, instead of that, we're being shifted into a fight, flight, freeze, faint, or fawn. And a lot of people that have vampire issues are being shifted into fawning or freezing. They have the words they want to say, but they can't get them out. They're frozen. And so what we really do there is we just use an intervention on that and really pull the survival system out of the way so that the rest of the brain can grab this whole situation and pull it through. And you know what comes through with that is any childhood trauma, any patterns, any emotional stuck gunk that's anywhere in your body, your mind, body, right? And then, you know, you kind of let your, you know, when you've got enough stuff, you let your survival system back in there. And then your brain starts working on this. And pretty soon you have, why don't we just do this? Why don't we do that? Why don't we do this? And a lot of times that's what makes the new program for the new boundary interaction with that person. And so after we do that, we want to see, what did the brain create? Right? So then we run it again. And so we see how the interaction with that person is going now and seeing if their brain has been able to come up with some new solutions and run them. Right. And then if they're able to keep the person out, they're able to use their boundaries, they're able to be authentic and truthful and honest with this person, problem solved. If they're not, right? Then we want to bring it back in and reevaluate, because now we get to walk the brain through its reevaluation process. How'd it go? How'd it feel? We weren't quite as frozen, but we weren't able to say this because why, I wonder. And the brain and mind and body, as you know, will tell you anything. And it's always trying to tell us what the problem is. It's just, we don't always hear it, or we misinterpret it, or we have ways of suppressing it, you know. But if we can hear that information, we can really make sure it gets through, you know, make sure the survival system stays out of the way, use another intervention on it, and really help the brain come up with more solutions. And then we try it again, see how that person is interacting with the vampire. And we'll keep at this. Sometimes it takes only one or two times. Sometimes it takes three or four. And sometimes if this is central to someone's trauma disorder, especially early childhood attachment trauma, sometimes this is a much more complex issue, and it will be a central project that we actually use to resolve their disorder and unravel their whole disorder. So that usually is a project that would take 8 weeks, you know, that we would be working on in pieces as a kind of a overarching 8-week process.
I like that. I like that you have a system too, because I can see you working through it in terms of explaining how someone would start, you know, and go back and forth. Because I think part of the issue that we don't have is knowing how to systematically work through this.
Yes.
Because most of us are going to be like, okay, this person's an energy vampire. Okay, yes, maybe there's boundaries. And with talk therapy, we would be like, okay, there's boundary issues. But then it's like, what's my system? And so right. I like this. And so this is what you have in your programs, correct? You're taking systems and working on that in particular.
Yes. And I don't teach that specific skill till the fifth week, you know, so you've have to get through 14 times five. And I'm not going to be mathing here. Hours of brain work and practice on the first skills, because this boundary repair, getting your brain to repair boundaries is, it takes some skill. You know, it's an advanced skill set, and you can learn it from yourself for yourself. And it's really fun, because I grew up in a family where we had no boundaries, and boundaries were quickly moved out of the way. And when I got to my boundary work, I kept hearing all this talk about boundaries. And I'm very visual and concrete. And I'm like, what are you talking about? You know, and I just would sit there and my wheels would turn, and I'm trying to figure this thing out. And I ended up beginning to really figure this out, and everything, it was really, I had to learn it from the inside out, right? I had to like figure out how to repair this stuff, and really then help other people conceptualize something invisible, right? I mean, it's easy when we have fences, you know, and then we're like, hey, you're on our side of the fence. But it's really a different thing when you can see each interaction and you can measurably, or you can quantifiably see how your boundaries are functioning in that. You know, that's such an empowering thing. And then in the first 4 weeks of my program, I teach people actually how to do the symptom, how to work with their brain in a way that resolves symptoms. And so by the time they get here, they can be, oh, I need to do this, this, this. And you can divide and conquer and go after it.
Wow.
And in a very strategic way. And that works each time. And so it just builds on skill set. And it's really phenomenal when you have a vampire and you're the one who can rescue yourself from them. And then that's really phenomenal. But then it's really cool when you get out there, when your brain has it figured out, it really starts inserting new things in without consulting you. And so next thing you know, you're with this vampire friend, and they say, hey, and you say, you know what, we're not going to do that today, because, you know, I really have a time management thing I'm doing and it's really important to me. And that vampire says, no. Actually, this is what I'm going to do today. I'll see you later. And then you walk away and you're like, wow, you really handled that. And then there's this internal like teamwork, and then you actually become friends with your brain, and then you see like if there's a problem going on here, like, hey brain, what's up with that? Why haven't you resolved that yet? And your brain will say, well, let me tell you, I've been waiting for you to ask me that. And next thing you know, you're just teamworking with this powerful piece of equipment, the most powerful piece of equipment we will ever run into. And what I think is so amazing about this equipment is that our prefrontal cortex is designed specifically to authenticate all solutions for us.
Yeah.
There is nobody else on the planet that is dedicated to us like that. And, or could even, if you create solutions for me, they're going to be authenticated to you, not for me. They're not going to be precisely my size and precisely my preference and precisely my belief system. Mine is for that. And so it's so important to get this player on board, because that's when our life starts to look like it belongs to us. And that's when our life starts to look like it's fit perfectly for us, you know? And so that's, I love that part.
I'm on board. I mean, there's a couple of things you mentioned, like one, becoming friends with your brain, because I think a lot of people, one, don't trust themselves. Two, you know, also are like, there's a lot of like, you know, what's wrong with me component. Like, can't you just think right? And like, what's wrong with your brain? You know, there's a lot of negative talk there. And so yes, becoming friends, but also, you know, like you were mentioning, being able to work within your own solution, not someone else's, because I think there's a lot of, you know, information out there. You need to do this. You should do this. You know, and it's not within your pattern. So, I mean, this is incredible stuff. I think a lot of people, you know, this is different. I honestly, you know, I've interviewed certain people on behavioral health and different things in terms of thought process, but really working to what your program's doing is teaching someone to be their own best therapist.
Yes. Really. Period. Yeah. You know, and it's really phenomenal. I could go on and on, but I, you know, it's wonderful when sometimes I feel like I'm cheating. I'm going to just be honest. I'm like, you are not, but I'll teach people. They'll start learning immediately. And then as we're going, it's like, especially my therapy clients, they'll come back and they're like, I worked through this memory and this memory, this one I had a hard time with. I'll go back and check the memory. Cause you know, we're looking for some stuff in the memory that lets you know if it's resolved or not. If we find stuff, I use that as not only a healing tool, but a teaching tool, you know, because you can see where their brain doesn't know how to work through something. And so then you can really zoom in there, help it with that. They learn the skill and they get the healing at the same time. And then the next thing you know, that thing comes up again. They're like, oh yeah, I resolved it. Sometimes I'm like, I want to play too. Like, oh, I'll work on this after the session, you know?
I mean, it's incredible, because I mean, I hear so many times in my practice, or, you know, working with people to make change, right? Just in general in their health, but also, you know, the repetitive things that come up that keep people from moving forward with just general health change. And so hearing you talk about this and seeing how excited you are, I mean, it's no doubt that these things, you know, you see them, the folks coming back, changing, you know, right before your eyes and coming up and being like, okay, you know, the checkoffs, like you said, being able to even have that awareness.
Yes.
I tried this, but then, you know, I don't think I'll be fully honest. I don't think in a lot of areas in my life, I've even been able to be like, that didn't work because of this. I would be like, I have no clue, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Stop. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. And that, and we get, cause we get lost in our brain. Right. I mean, I remember just being in my brain and like looking around. I'm trapped, right? I'm trapped in my brain looking around for like, how do I get out of here? You know, and not being able to find anything. And it's just like, but you know, it's like, once you can do one thing, then you can see it somewhere else and you can do that one. And you can do the next one and the next one. And pretty soon, you know, and what I just do in the program is, one, I give people specific exercises. Like, we're doing brain pushups here, you know, and you're not going to get the result if you don't do the pushup, period. We can talk about the result, but there's like, if you're digging a hole and you read about the digging the hole, that's one thing, that's great. But you're not going to understand what it takes to dig a hole, or why you do this and why you do that, or when to do what, unless you're actually digging the hole.
Right.
Right. And so it's a whole nother. And so what I'm doing in the program is I'm really giving people, if you get lost, this is where you start again. You know, if you get lost, cause you do. Mm-hmm. There are things in there that are really tough. Some of them are like a 2-week project. There we go. That's the word I'm looking for. Some of them, like, you resolve that and you never know which one's which. I had a client come in the beginning of the program and woke up triggered, spent the entire rest of the day totally just asleep and laying down. And she was like, I have a life to live. And so I get her started. We go, I see her 2 days later. And she's like, you don't know what I did. I baked a whole cake today. You have, that might sound like nothing to you, but I haven't had that fall asleep since problem since we first did that first session.
Wow.
You don't know what is going to be easy for the brain to do and what's going to be more difficult. So it's really important to have different skills for like, okay, if this is an easy one, we'll knock it out right here. If it's not, we'll put our backpacks on and we're going in, you know, and we're going to use these strategies. And there's so many ways to do really painful work, not painful at all. Like you, there are so many strategies to really position yourself that your brain can be in position to do the healing work while the pain doesn't splash over you or wave over you and knock you out of the healing game, which is one of the big deals that happens during EMDR.
Yeah. Yeah. Right?
And so, and that's what, and then it, that traumatizes our survival system's like, what? Mm-hmm. You didn't tell me we're going to be in a life or death situation over here. And then next thing you know, it's strategizing to keep you away from healing.
Yeah.
Because it's making the association that healing is painful. We don't want that. We don't want the survival system. Like I teach like lots of strategies, like survival system is VIP. You know, what do you need? You're not happy with this situation. What can we do for you? Mm-hmm. You know, catering to that and making like never pushing past it, never pushing through, because what happens is that thing, it has a hold of our whole nervous system. It's smarter than us.
Yeah.
You don't want that. You don't want to be fighting with that, because next thing you know, it says, we're not going to do that because it's dangerous. And we say we are, and we find a way over here around it to go through. And then it learns where we got in from. It got in from over here. It closes that door up heavy. Right. And so, and in there, it puts like over like 2 panic attacks, 1 racing thought, 1 dissociation, say something and I will make you throw up right now. Right. And then it starts pressing on the stomach throw up button. It's like, you don't need that. And so we have to, and people can do this for themselves. They can be careful with their inner word. They can be guided to watch for signs and to try it slow. I teach that all the time. Slow down. No pain equals much gain, right? Yeah. The more we can make no pain, because pain is what activates the survival system and what you know makes it want to block the whole system down. And it registers pain as emotional and social pain the same way it does with physical pain. And so we really want to be careful with that. And people can really do a wonderful job in their inner worlds.
I'm glad you mentioned that about, you know, slow is no pain, because I'll have a lot of people come into my practice and be like, okay, I'm going to do some EMDR. I'm going to do, you know, hypnosis, and it's going to be totally painful. And I'm going to like brace myself. But then I've also had a lot of people in the advent now of telehealth and things of that nature do a lot of virtual EMDR, and I'm not going to lie, come out of it really messed up. And because I do acupuncture, I do a lot of, you know, body work and body therapy. And so a lot of times I'm like, okay, let's try to undo this, but it's above my, you know, as I call it, above my pay grade per se in this case, because I'm not a therapist. I don't, you know, I don't have that skill set to be like, how are we going to unwire this? Like all I can do is try to do the balance in the body to like take the edge off.
That's right.
But I can't get that, like you're saying, those primal centers of the brain to be like, I'm safe, I'm cool.
Right.
I'm safe, I'm cool. Because I feel like that is where so much is happening right now on so many levels with a lot of people, is that if we're not feeling safe and cool, basically, and I call it, that's my kind of terminology for it, safe and cool, we're good. We're going to have pain. Right. We're going to have, you know, we're going to have the stresses. We're going to have the anxiety. We're going to have all of the different things of that nature. So I, you know, what you've got going on here, I think is something absolutely incredible, that tools in the toolbox, because I think we all need to know how to be self-sufficient.
That's right. That's right. And then we can use therapy sessions, like they'll actually add to our life, because a lot of these therapists are brilliant, but they don't specialize in working with the rehabbing the brain, working with the survival system. That's not their area of specialty, but they do have really wonderful ones. And then we can go in, get our needs met, and come out. We don't need a whole system rebuild, which we do when we are recovering from anxiety, depression, and traumatic stress, different levels of that. But we can really Matt grow, right? We can do the thriving stuff as opposed to working with the surviving stuff, which is what anxiety, depression, traumatic stress is all about. And it's expensive. But I would say, you know, with what you're doing, like the mind-body connection is the one you want to work with. So I would say that I don't think that you probably can't get into the core of it. It's just the amount of times and the amount of support that the body and mind need to resolve that we can't do it in 1 hour.
Yeah.
We can't do it in 2 hours. And if we don't end that loop, it just, the next thing comes and overwhelms the person again, you know, and now we've got two problems we're dealing with. And so it's really, I find it very important to hand it off, get the amount of work done, because people really, that, you know, that nervous system flare up, people can work through that themselves at home.
Yeah. Yeah. You
know? And so anyway, I think it's wonderful what you're doing over there with the acupuncture. I send my clients to anybody that will do body work that I can. I have a naturopath I send them to for neurofeedback, and, you know, because we want to resolve whatever the brain is having a problem with at the root. And sometimes those roots are vitamins and minerals. Sometimes it's brainwave stuff. Sometimes it's like you have a stuck energy in a meridian, you know? And it's just, it's, you know, the more support we can give the brain and body, it can really go back to its natural capability of healing and wellness. You know, it's great at that. If it's not doing it, that there's a problem. Right. That in my case, I've just seen them resolve. So I'm kind of on team brain, like there ain't nothing the brain can't do. I think
most of us are not, you know, unfortunately, we're not using our full brain potential.
No.
And we have so much more that we could be doing with it. And I think for a lot of people, we're just scratching the surface with the awareness concepts and expanding your mind in different things of that nature. But what you're giving folks is the tools to actually work with it. And I think for, I would say 90% of my patients in my practice, they've never experienced this at all. The tools,
right.
You know, there's been the like, okay, go to the EMDR. Okay. Do some tapping at home. But most people will come to me and be like, where am I supposed to tap? Like, I don't know where you're supposed to tap. I mean, I'll tell people to tap on acupuncture points, 'cause that's what I know it to do, you know, but having the knowledge, it's almost like, as I see it, your programs for me are like continuing education. As we were talking about before we jumped on the podcast, it's like continuing education for self management. Like, I don't understand, you know, I'm like, we should have your programs in preschool, like legitimately in preschool.
That's my dream. That's close to my dream. My dream is that parents, that we're doing our trauma work at the table with our kids.
Oh,
on ourselves, on our kids. And that's really one of the, I was talking with one of my clients recently, and she was telling me about how her daughter is healing now and how she's, I just sit and clap and applaud. Like by the seventh week, I'm just there as a cheerleader and I'm just celebrating with them. But it's like, I love it when the husbands start to heal and they didn't intend to heal, you know, their wife's just doing this thing, you know? And the next thing they're in my program, you know, but the kids, the parents are the best people to do this work with the kids. And if we're trained to work with our own brain, it is so easy to help our kids. And there's nobody that can customize an intervention to our kids like us if we're tuned in. Yeah. And if we're not tuned in and we need to customize something, it really can help us tune in to say, hey, hold up, I have these tools. How can I help my kid with this? Right? Because the kids' brains are easy. They're not as complex and convoluted and intertwined as ours are, you know? It's like a couple little tappings and they're gone. A couple rounds, a minute. Sometimes I'm just like, this is teenagers. Every once in a while, I mostly work with adults, but boy, those teenagers, when they come through and their brains just start moving and then they start talking to me back, because I really am asking questions. I want to hear what the brain knows, and they're understanding concepts I didn't understand till I was like 30, 33, 34. I can have like high level boundary conversations with these humans. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, I was frozen in fear. you know, I was dissociated. And here these people are like mastering life.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the power of functional brains.
Yeah. Yeah. No, this is so, so incredible. And I love that you're teaching. Yeah. I'm sure your kiddos are probably like wizards at this point of brain unlocking.
There's, you know, I think everybody's kids go through the phase of that's mom stuff, you know, right. My kids are doing that. But I let them, I'm like, yeah, you know, I just am over here playing around, you know? But now that they have had some real challenges and the tapping has really helped their, where do I tap now, mom? You know, I'm like, mm-hmm.
Corner, you're like, yeah, I'm not gonna show you that, but I'm gonna be like, yes, you did it, you know, I'm so proud of you, honey. No, this is good stuff. This is good stuff. So I definitely want folks to check out your program. And it seems like when I read through things that they do get with your program some one-on-one time with you. Now here's my other question, just because I was looking at the structure and it looked like two visits with you. How can they get more? Can you build on to your program?
No, let me tell you.
Tell us the whole deal.
Okay, tell me how that works. Okay, so I'm gonna start in the beginning, right? Because I've really worked hard to make sure that no matter if somebody cannot invest with me and invest their time and energy into working with me and money, right? That I can still teach them the interventions for free. And so I have those available on my Facebook group. And that's just a fun community of people who want to do the brain work to heal. And I teach an intervention about monthly, and different really cool things like energy testing. I'm teaching one on energy testing coming up and psychological reversals and how to use these two things to get rid of symptoms. And so I just will teach, I'm an intervention hound. And so I keep teaching interventions. If somebody wants to learn how to use the intervention, wants my structure for using the interventions, I have a self-study, online self-study program where that is the same curriculum I use in my 8-week intensive.
Okay.
And so my 8-week intensive is the big overhaul. I walk with through this with you. We meet twice a week for 2 hours at a time in a small group. When I first started my small group, like that's 32 hours of I'm looking at you. These are work sessions. And I was always like, okay, I'm going to just watch if somebody needs an individual session, I'm going to do that. But my clients have never needed that. In everybody that's come through the program, they come on, we celebrate the brain shifts that they're making. And then I answer questions and then we divide up and get to work. And then I check in with this person. And then while they're using the interventions, I move on to the next person and the next person and the next person. And those are small, right? So less than five.
Okay.
And everybody's doing their work and healing. And so we do that through the whole program, and it's in the rolling program. So a lot of times when somebody new comes on, it's really cool and reassuring that some of the ones that have been on for 3 weeks or 6 weeks, like they can see we're going someplace and wow. And then it really helps the people that are farther along because they can look back and see how far they've come. And, you know, when somebody new asks a question, they have an aunt, they're like, and they like, I know that. And it's like, yeah, because you're good. You're good at this. In that 8-week intensive, those clients also, I have a client's own a group for them only where they get ongoing monthly support. And nice. So that's just part of the package, especially because by the time you're done with my program, you're better trained than most therapists in our community at this work because but the first three parts of my program are pretty much what I learned in EMDR and EFT. And then everything afterwards are all the advanced strategies I learned that weave everything together to really get the outcome of ending a disorder. And I remember those moments when I was like, I could get the outcome. I could help people resolve past memories, but I'm like, they still have a disorder. you know? And that's really when I got to thinking more and really start building some new things in. So that's really the last half of the program is what that is. So, so that 8-week intensive is a massive dive in, and we're together for the life of my business. The curriculum that I use in that program is available as a self-study program. And in that I give 2 small group sessions, because it's like sending your baby, my program, out into the world. And I just like, I want to make sure people understand it. So people don't have to take those sessions. Lots of people who just want the support, they're just very independent and private people, or independent or private. I would have never, when I was doing my healing journey, even though I was a therapist, I would never have gone to a therapist. I was so fragile inside. I could not have anybody even breathe on my inner world without fearing that I would fall and shatter. Mm-hmm. And so it's really, that's really one of the reasons why I made my program available, because it's, people need different things to heal. Some people will need a therapist. Some people need to hide in their corner, in their hole at home, and do the work and not come out till it's done. You know, other people will want to take the program and start working on it and use it with their own therapist. Mm-hmm. You know, great. Wonderful. Other people will jump in my 8-week program, you know? So I really wanted to make a wide variety of ways that people could access this and really get the results. And because it's just, it's very simple brain work, but it creates massive results when you do it at the right time with the right symptom and build your skill. And really, I will tell you that once you learn this, you start creating your own stuff. I have clients that come up with new interventions. I'm like, what do you call that? And strategies, because this is my program's just, it's the foundation of healing, and at the foundation. So that's what I have available. Oh, and I have a YouTube channel. I talk about issues and like relationships, trauma and relationships, trauma and parenting, how to get rid of any disorder, any symptom, you know, talking to kids, gosh, how to regulate your nervous system. I really go off and try to give, because many people will never work with me, right? Maybe they'll get some interventions, and they just need some ideas and strategies and look at these complex interactions from a brain perspective, so that they're like, oh, I get it. Mm-hmm. And they will go and heal, right? And then I also have an email list that I write extensively on to inspire people. If this happens in this scenario, if this symptom shows up in this scenario, this is what's going on and how you solve it. And so I send those out. So, and people email me back and they're like, I got rid of panic attacks. I'm not falling apart in conflict anymore. I'm actually holding my own. I'm like, get it. I just celebrate over there. And so, you know, I really want people to get what they need when they need it and be able to use any aspect of what I'm doing as a resource for them. And all of that, you know, if you get on my website, it really will walk you through. There's a webinar on there. There's the link to my Facebook group. There's the services that I offer and the programs. And then there is, golly, what's next on there? Oh, sign up for my email list.
Yeah.
And then I've got some videos, and my YouTube stuff is on there. So really, it's an easy way to get connected and figure out what's going on.
Perfect. Perfect. And that's all at rachelmcleod.com. Yes.
Yep.
Okay, cool.
Rachelmcleod.com. I'm going to spell that.
Yeah.
Because my name actually is spelled like Rochelle.
Yep. We learned that one.
We learned that one. So it's rachelmcleod.com, Rachelmcleod.com.
All right.
So that's where you'll find it.
Is your YouTube the same handle?
It's not yet, because, you know, I just started it.
No,
I have 95 people on it. So apparently you need 1,000 to get your own handle. So coming soon.
Oh, well, there you go. Mm-hmm. There you go. Well, you know, I mean, we all got to start somewhere, but I mean, you've got such great stuff, and here you are getting on podcasts. So I think there's going to be no problem growing that number over time, because so many people need help. But not only that, help that is going to give a solution versus put a band-aid.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Of that nature. And You're in the solution department. I love it.
Because, you know, there's only so much insight, so much reading, so much education you can do. And that's really not my specialty. My specialty is let's roll our sleeves up and get in there. And so, And just being on Facebook for so many years, it was like, I should jump over there. So it's fun to see that develop and come along as well, the YouTube channel. So
I have no doubt you will be growing quite fast, especially because, you know, just like I was saying, the toolbox and having people, you know, work with things, because let's face it, you know, we're all searching to try to improve ourselves. But I mean, if I showed you my stack of self-improvement books, that yes, it's nice in the moment, but does it give me a tool that I can legitimately use? Yeah, you know, like the book Un-F Yourself. Well, let's put it this way. That's great, great concepts, you know, but I'm not tapping in, like you said, to that core of the trauma centers in the brain, the primal centers of the brain. We need to know how to dive in, pull stuff out.
That's right. Yeah.
You got it, girl. You got some magic there. I mean, it's not even magic. It's like literally you are unlocking every single person's magic to heal.
That's right.
That's what I like. I feel like it's individualized. You're literally, and my mission, of course, in life is to teach people that you have everything inside you to help yourself. And you're doing that. You're helping folks to unlock that.
Yes. And I so appreciate you spreading that message. And I think that the magic comes when people see it for themselves. They see the magic their brain can create. So I'm really grateful that you're spreading that and giving that to people as a starter, that they can be curious and what if my brain could do some things, right? And it can.
Yeah, it can do some cool stuff.
Really cool things.
So here we are. You've given us so many amazing tips. I also am going to be putting folks who are listening right now. I've got everything at drjkrausnd.com. It's going to be on our podcast notes, and how to get hold of Rachel, how to get in to even the Facebook, wherever you can start, wherever you want to get more info. But I highly recommend it, guys, because she's got it down in terms of what we need to be doing and where we need to be looking at things. This is healing yourself at the core.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on. I can't wait to dive more into your info. And I have a feeling that you and I might be talking again here soon.
Sounds great. Sounds wonderful.
Hey there. If you enjoyed this episode of The Health Fix, I bet you'd love to join us in our Facebook group, Find Your Health Fix, where we keep the conversation going from the podcast, but also talk all things health and how we can be athletes and healthy for life. So if you're interested in being on top of your A game, not taking pharmaceutical medications, and being healthy for life, come on over to Find Your Health Fix. We'll see you there.